Okay, today's daf is Samachet. We're going to start, I'll just review very briefly. In the Mishnah we saw, starting on Samach Vav Amud Bet, we saw that Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer have a machloket about this case where you take the Olat HaOf, remember the Olat HaOf is done at the top of the Mizbeach, and both Simanim are cut, or you do Malika on them, and instead of doing that, you went to the bottom of the Mizbeach, you did it with the intent of the Chatat, and you did it the way the Chatat is done, meaning you did Malika of one Siman, and you did it at the bottom. So now, and right, so the three things, the shame at the bottom, the location, and the way that the Chatat is done. And he says there's no din of Me'ila. Now let's just review this issue of Me'ila. What does Me'ila mean? Me'ila is that if you misuse consecrated property, then you have to bring a, you know, you did it by accident, then you bring a korban, asha me'ilo, and you pay the value of the item that you used, plus an additional fifth, which is really a quarter, or 25% more. And then the issue here is, okay, let's just review again. In Ola, there's me'ila from start to end. As soon as you sanctify it, it's going to have me'ila all the way through. A shlamim we saw yesterday has me'ila until zrika. Once you do the zrika, then the meat is permitted, so there's no din of me'ila anymore because the meat's permitted. But the imurim, the extra parts that you have to burn on the mizbeach, continue to have a din of me'ila even after zrikat dam. The chatat is different because the chatat, once you designate it, it's going to have me'ila because at that point it's hekdesh. But as soon as you do the zrikat dam, or the hazaat dam in this case because it's the bird, as soon as you do the sprinkling of the blood, what happens? All the meat is mutar to the kohanim to eat. So at that point, there's no more din of me'ila. So according to Rabbi Yoshua, take this olat ha'of, treat it as if it's a chatat, mistakenly, right? It's not going to have a din of me'ila anymore. And then comes Rav Ad Bar Av and he explains, okay, this is at the bottom of Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, the last four lines. I'm Rav Ad Bar Av, and this is the key thing that we're dealing with now. Omer haya Rabbi Meir, and that's Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua, by the way, only said this about Me'ila. He was only talking about Me'ila. He says, if you take this Ola and you do it exactly like the Chatat, there's no more din of Me'ila. So comes Rav Ad Bar Ava and says, Omer haya Rabbi Yoshua, what he really means is, Ola ha'of shasa lamata ki ma'ase chatat l'shem chatat, kevan shemalak basiman echad, nimshechet, here are the key words, nimshechet b'naseit chatat ha'of. He basically says it turns into a chatat ha'of. Now, I just want to talk about this concept for a minute. It's a very unique concept here because generally, sometimes we do have korbanot switching to other korbanot. I'll give you an example. A korban Pesach, you designate as a korban Pesach. Avar zmana, it's no longer Pesach. The korban becomes a shlamim. Okay? It becomes a shlamim. But that is affected because of timing. In other words, that's where you set aside this korban to be a korban Pesach. You didn't use it on Pesach. Now the Pesach has passed. It can no longer be a korban Pesach, so you can use it as a shlamim. There's a case where an asham also, if metu balim, there can be some change in it, but that is all based on external factors like time, something else affecting it that changes it. Here, the actions of the kohen can change it into something else, according to Rav Ad Bar Ava. And that's a huge chidush, and it's very much bothersome to the Gemara that he's saying this, right? There. So they keep trying to bring these proofs from Masechet Kinim to say, what are you talking about? You can't. This can't possibly be. Because if this could be, then if we had the following case where they did, remember, one lamala, one lamata, and or both lamata, let's say, right? So can't you just say, if it was done lamata, it turns into a chatat? And in fact, they seem to say no, and therefore they try to raise issues with him. We had some answers to them yesterday. Now we're going to continue with another case that seems to go against. Sorry. Where we ended yesterday was, we brought this case of the chatat ve'ola, the stuma, and the mefureshet. There were three types, right? Three kinim, three, remember what a kin is? It's a nest of two birds. It's a pair of birds, you could say. It could be Torim or it could be Bnei Yonah. Today we're going to mix that all up and confuse things even more. In this case, you brought three sets. One was designated as Chatava Ola, one was Stuma, wasn't designated at all, and one was Mefureshet, right? One said, sorry, the Chatat and the Ola, the Chatat is for so-and-so, and the Ola is for the other woman, right? And then we have the Mefureshet, which is one is Lola, one is the Chatat. We just didn't specify whose it was. And then we basically got to the conclusion that Einak Shera Ela Stuma, but the Mefurashim Lo, now the Mefurashim, which it said one is Chatat and one is Leola, and in the case where half was done lamala, half was done lamata, why don't you say nihida ola kreva lamata tim shofet havi chatarov? Can't you just say since it was done lamata, it becomes the chatara of like Rav Adabar Ahava says? And then we wanted to say, well, maybe you want to say, and this is what's going to get us off, and this is one of those cases where, particularly in Daf Yomi, you say, oh, why did they do this? Because what they're going to do is they're basically going to bring a bunch, the continuation of the Mishnah there. They want to say, well, maybe you could just simply say the Rav Adabar Ahava will answer that Mishnah doesn't match Rabbi Yoshua, in which case Rabbi Yoshua would have said it turns into a chatat, but the Mishnah didn't hold by Rabbi Yoshua. And now the answer is going to be very simple, but it's going to take a long time to get there, which is if you continue reading those Mishnayot, and they're going to read it Beretzef, okay, and the continuum of Mishnayot, and at the end of that whole section, we're going to get to Rabbi Yoshua comments there. And if he appears there, it must be that he holds that the Mishnah is according to his Shita, in which case we knock out Rav Adabar Ahava's explanation that you can't actually turn it into a Chatada Of, because if you could, let's say it this way, it's not that you can't, but that's not what Rabbi Yoshua says, okay? When Rabbi Yoshua says, Eim Mo'alim, he doesn't mean that it becomes a Chatada Of. Remember, if it becomes a Chatada Of, what would happen? You'd be Yotze, your Chiyuv, if, let's say, right, if you were chayav a chatat, obviously you're chayav an ola, and that's why you're bringing the ola. But if you were also chayav a chatat at the same time, then it could count for your chatat. Okay? And here we're going to see it doesn't work that way, and it's not Rabbi Yoshua. I'm sorry, it is Rabbi Yoshua's opinion. So if it's Rabbi Yoshua's opinion, and it doesn't work that way, then it can't be the Rabbi Yoshua thinks it works that way. Okay? So, prepare yourselves. Here we go. Tashma. Hayisha shamra hare alai kein im eled zachar. And let me just review the halachot of a yoledet. A yoledet is supposed to bring a chatat and an ola. It can be an animal and a bird, or it could be, I have to remember now, is it, pass the Tanakh quickly for a second. I can't remember, it's two animals or an animal and a bird, and then if you can't afford it, then you can bring two birds. Okay, it starts in Parshat Tzriah, the very beginning of Parshat Tzriah, and it says, etc. She brings keves ben shnato leola uben yona vitor lechatat. Okay, so she brings an animal, a keves leola, and a bird lechatat. And then it says v'im lo timtza yada deise. She can't afford the animal. We're going to talk about a woman who can't afford it. She brings one lechatat and one leola. Okay? Oh, by the way, I actually forgot now that I'm writing on the board. Today's shiur is dedicated, sponsored by Caroline Musin in honor of the seven women who finished the Maharat program, who graduated and received smicha. And she said, may they bring Torah to more and more women and men in the world. So today's shiur is dedicated in honor of those women. One of them was a former student of mine. okay. So now we're going to say, this woman, so she is chayav a chatat and an ola. Now this is going to be her chova, because she has to bring this. But in addition to having this chova, what did the woman say? She said, if I have a boy, okay, this is classic, right? They always wanted boys. If I have a boy, right? Or you could just say it was random, right? 50-50, it could have been, she said, if I have a nekeva. But usually these sources are always, they preferred boy children. She says, if I have a boy, then I will bring a cane. Okay, this is what we call nidava. Okay, and it's an ola. Okay, this is going to be what's important. When you bring a nidava is always a korban ola. So now she's going to bring two birds, both leola. This is why it gets a little confusing. Because one set of birds is for a chatat and an ola, and one set of birds is just olot. It's two birds, but both olot. So keep that in mind. And remember, one is a chova and one is a nidava. Why will this be significant? Because when you have two things upon you, one a chova and one a nidava, remember, nidava means voluntary. When the first one you're going to do is always going to be for your obligation, and the second one will be for the voluntary offering. So now, she says, Harei ala keni meled zachar. Yalda zachar, so if in fact she has a zachar, which is obviously what's going to concern us, if she had a nekeva, this would be out the window, we wouldn't care. Mivia shtei kinim, so she has to bring two sets, echat lenidra, for her neder, and echat lechovata, right, one for the promise she vowed, her vow, and one for the chova. Nitanatan lekohen, she gives these two kinim now to the kohen. HaKohen, so what is he supposed to do? This is obvious. Sarich lasotan shalosh lemala, because there's three olot, and the olot happen above. Ve'echad lemata. Lo asake. Now the Kohen, often when he gets a pair, there's so many cases where he gets a pair of birds, and what's he supposed to do? We've seen it many times. The Metzora, the Nazir, the Yoled, echad lechatad, echad lola. So he gets these two pairs of birds from this woman who just had a baby, and he just doesn't think about it. He assumes that they're Chatan and Ola, both of them. So what does he do? Right? Ela asa shtayim lemala v'shtayim lemata. V'lo nimlach. He didn't check with the woman. He just assumed she was bringing two pairs of birds. What did he assume, by the way? Couldn't be.
She had twins.
Okay, so, no, I don't, yeah. Actually, with twins, I don't know. So first of all, it could be, I didn't see that case written, but I know I've seen this before, where it could be she didn't, right, she wasn't able to come the first time. This we've come across in the past. She wasn't able to come the first time, so when she goes this time, she's taking care of her previous obligations. Another option is, she's what's called the Yoledet Bezov. She also had Zava blood before that, and now she brings the Karban for being a Zava and the Karban for bringing for Yoledet. Anyway, those are possible options of what he thought.
I could think that it was two women that he had. They handed him two kids.
No, well, he has to know who it's for. Okay? Pretty sure, yeah. So anyway, lo nimlach, so he didn't check with her. So now, tzricha shesh tavi od preda achat v'takrivena lemala. That's mimin echad. If all the birds he brought, let's say, were all b'nei yonah, because remember, you could do tolim or b'nei yonah. So if they were all b'nei yonah, what can we say very simply? I'm sorry. She's right. She just said harei alei kein in this case. She didn't say what type. If they're all one type, then basically what's the problem? The problem is one olat nedava that was done lemata, right, was supposed to be done lemala. Okay, so she has to fill that one in. Umishne minim, but if it was two different types, meaning one kain was b'nei yonah and one kain was shnei tolim, and then the problem is this, we don't know which one was done first. So he did one lemala, one lemata in each set. So now, since we don't know which was first and which was second, we have to bring one olah for each one olah that was a yonah, and one olah that was a tor, because if the problem is he doesn't remember anymore the order in which he did them. So if you remember the order, then we just do the second one, because the second one is for the nidava. So since we don't know the order, we suffix, we have to bring two. Okay?
Wouldn't it be the same if it were all the same type of bird?
No, because if it's all the same type of bird, then all she needs, let's say they were all tolim that he brought. So she would have to, you have to remember, when you bring a zug, okay, not remember, maybe I never said this. When you bring a zug, both birds have to be the same. So if, in the second set, right, he brings one la'ola, and it was, if they're all tolim, then the one that was missing just has to be a tor. So if they were all the same, meaning everything was shnei tolim, so the first one, each one he did lamala lamata. So the first one he did lamala lamata was perfect, because that's what she needed. Echad l'chatad, echad l'ola. The second one, he did both lamala, and I'm sorry, he did one lamala, one lamata. The one that was lamata was done as a chatad. It was supposed to be an ola. So basically, what are we going to say? That's the one who needs replacing. So if it was all the same mean, it's only one that needs replacing. She brings a new tour to the Beit HaMikdash, and he does it. But if it was also yonim and also tolim, and we don't know which one was done second, so we need to bring a yonah, because maybe it was the yonah that was done second and we're missing that ola, or maybe it was the tor that was done second and we're missing the tor. So she has to bring a tor lola and a yonah lola.
It's surprising though that they don't just make her do the whole thing again, because with animals, you're so focused on that specific animal. And in here, you don't know exactly which yonah it was. It could have been...
Right. So here, there's a bit of a difference, and we said this yesterday, that the Kohen has the ability to determine which is going to go for which. So because of that, we're going to treat the birds differently. In general, this whole thing about Rav Adi Bar Ava saying that you can do this, clearly he views the birds very differently. Okay, that the birds are in a bit of a different category because, like I said in the beginning of today's shiur, there is no other korban that someone can switch its use for something else. And even though we don't in the end agree with Rav Adi Bar Ava, we kind of knock him out, but the fact that he can even suggest such a thing shows that there's a difference in the way they view the birds.
It seems to go against the whole hypothesis of korbanot, which is, you know, one person specifies one animal to do the kapara for them.
Except that here you can specify a group of birds without saying which is for which. They went together. They went like as a zug. So the, and then you designated them to be for this purpose, but which is going to go for which is much more fluid in this case. Okay? But there is a designation. She designates the birds are for this purpose. Okay, next case. Persha Nidra. In the first case, what did she say? I'll bring a cane if I have a zachar. But in the second case, she specifies which bird she wants. She says, I want Tolim, okay? But now she forgets whether she said Tolim or B'nai Yonah. So she doesn't remember anymore which one she specified. And not only does she not remember, but the Kohen, we're continuing with the same case, where the Kohen also doesn't remember which one he did first. Okay? So, Tzricha Labi Od Shlosha Predim Mimin Echad. If the whole thing was done Mimin Echad, so then what's missing? Right? Let's say he did all Tolim, and she said B'nai Yonah. Okay? So what happens? The first cane is totally fine because it's just a regular, right? Remember, she specified only for her neder. She didn't specify for the chova of the cane she has to bring as a yoled. So the first one he did a chalamala chalamata, that's perfect. We're set. Our chova is all done. In general, the chova is going to be fine. Doesn't matter. But the second group he did, let's say, right, assuming he did all one mean it was tolim. So either it was tolim and it was fine, or, no, either she had said tolim and then what would happen? One was wrong because he did one lamala, one lamata, and they were supposed to be both lamala as an ola. So we're missing one ola. So she'd have to bring one tor as an ola. If she had specified B'nai Yonah, then no B'nai Yonah were done as olot, and she'd need to bring two B'nai Yonah as an ola. Okay? So basically she has to bring three. That's all if it was Mimin Echad. Because if it was Tolim, then we know that at least one tor was okay. One wasn't. But if, now you can see where this is going, if it's Mishnei Minim, he did two sets of two different birds, and he doesn't know which one he did first, then we have no idea if olot were brought at all, right? In the second case, where there was at least one ola, we have no idea if it was brought from the min that she needed. Therefore, it could be no olot were brought at all, and therefore, since we don't know which one it was, she has to bring Shnei Tolim and Shnei B'nai Yonah as an ola. Okay? Kav'a Nidra. Okay, what if she, if she said, this is, okay, I have to just preface this by saying this is Rashi's interpretation I'm going with. It's a bit of a debate about, some people say Kav'a Nidra is exactly the case I just said, okay, but let's skip all the, it's complicated enough with the basic one way of interpreting it. If she's Kav'a Nidra and she says, I'm going to bring, okay, Rashi says, Lahavia im Chovata. Okay, she says, Harei alei kein lahavio im chovati. Okay, I'm going to bring it with my other offering. Okay, in other words, until now, it was separate, but it, you know, it could have been separate. But if she says, I'm going to bring it with, then tzricha shetavi od chamesh predim lemala mimin echad. Okay, she now has to bring five olot because, I have to remember this case, this is, right, what it means, okay, so what this means is I'm going to bring it with, it means I'm going to bring it of the same type, okay? So now, and of course we have no idea which types were brought, and we have no idea which order they were brought in, so therefore, what she means is that we want, okay, what's important here to know is, if she says I want to bring it together with it, what she means is I want the ola to be the same as the ola in my chova, okay? So if that's the case, if you want the olot to match and you're not sure which one was done, then you're going to have to replace also that olah. That's going to add the fifth. You're going to have to replace the, and as until now, the chava has always been fine. Because it didn't matter. It's arbitrary. Which one? It was totally arbitrary. The first one that she's chayevet is the oledet doesn't really matter. Because she didn't designate anything in particular. In this case, she designated that I want the ola of my cane for yoledet, my chova, to be the same as the ola that I bring for my neder. And she specified her neder. We just have no idea what she specified. So that means if she had said tolim, then the first one has to be tolim. But we have no idea if the first one was tolim or not. And we'd have no idea if the second one was tolim. So basically what we have to do now is replace, not only say two tolim and two b'nei yonah is her ola of her neder, but we have to add also the ola of the chova so that it matches. Umishne minim tavi shesh. Okay, now if there were two, because this is all if it's mimin echad. If it's all tolim, okay, 1 second, I have to remember this. If it's all tolim, then 1 second, let me just check this again. What? You're right, it's a very complicated math problem. This is why I said in the end, it's not even the whole details of this case are not relevant to the flow of the Gemara, which is why I say, you know, it's,
you can wrap it out as a formula.
It's just right. So now what happens here? Mishne minim kav'ani dra, then she needs.
Unscrupulous, he could say, well, I don't remember. You could bring some more or bring some more old log because I need some work.
That's all. It's just that this is the issue. She said, I want to bring it with my offering. So now that she has to re-bring her offering, that's the issue. When she needs to bring, when she's not sure if it was done right, so she has to bring a new set, so she has to bring the Ola with it.
To make it together.
To make it together. That's why, right. It's not the same. It's also the same type, and it's also together.
But if it's the same type, then whatever you bring when right. you're doing it, you don't need five, you just need three.
No, so this is the thing. Wait, I'll tell you. This is why it's important. Because what happens, if she brought all tolim, okay? The Kohen brought, right, she designated all tolim, she gives it to the Kohen, he does it. So now, what's the issue? We don't know if she said tolim or b'nei yonah, so she has to bring shnei b'nei yonah as an ola. She also is going to have to bring, since she's not sure about it, let's say it's tolim, okay? Then, if it's tolim, she has to bring them all together. So she has to redo the entire thing also for the tolim. And then, not only does she have to redo those two, but she also has to redo the chovah together with it. So that's how we get to five. But if it's mishne minim, then we don't know what type the ola of the chovah has to be, and therefore it has to be also a Torah and a ben yonah. So then we end up with a ben yonah for the ola of the chovah, a Torah for the ola of the chovah, two tolim for the nedava, and two b'nei yonah for the nedava, and that's how we get to six. Okay? Nitanatan lekohen ve'ina yoda ma natna. Okay, if she gives it to the kohen and she doesn't know what she gave, and then halacha kohen va'asa ve'eino yodea ma'asa, and he doesn't know what he did, tzricha dalib predim lenidra ushtayim lechovata v'chatat echat. Okay, this case is right. The additional thing here, right. So why does she have to do the chatat? Because in this case, second, he did the kinim and he doesn't know. He doesn't know what he did. He doesn't know if he did them both lamala, for chalamala, chalamata. He has no idea which order, in which case, maybe he did them all lamala, and then we have to replace also the chatat. Okay? So then, right? So therefore, she has to bring four predot lenidra, ushayim lechovata, right? And it's premised on the last case. It's just like the last case where she has to bring six, but now she has to bring an additional chatat because we have no idea if he did the chatat right or not.
But you can't just say, forget everything you just did, here's four more birds.
Right, right.
There's no, I know,
yeah.
This almost sounds sacrilegious, by the way, there, the bird.
Speaking of birds, yeah,
Ben.
and staying away.
Doesn't the Kohen have liability? I mean, we learn about the Metzia, we learn about you give a weaver or something, you give a cleaner, a dyer.
Right, and the Kohen messes it up. Yeah. So we talked about this in the beginning, right? We talked about this a long time ago, about the... And did it start? And I guess in the first parak here, we talked about it, that it seems that really he's not liable and it's her responsibility.
What about they're taking into account at all that the reason she's bringing birds is because she's poor?
Yeah, exactly.
So what are you saying? And here we're making her bring more. Well, first of all, she's poor, but she did offer an eder. You know, the birds are pretty inexpensive, so I think it wasn't such a concern. You can basically catch birds and bring them. So that's why I think the bird
that's what
is...
I want to do right after I've given birth, is they're chasing birds.
Yes.
Those are hard to catch.
It's
true.
But they had traps. They did have traps and stuff.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So now, Ben Azai Omer Shte Chataot. Okay, he says you have to bring the tor and the Ben Yonah, because he says... he has the shita that hakol alech achar arishon, and since there's a safek that maybe they were done all lemala, so she's yotze her ola, and she just has to bring a chatat from the same mean that the ola was done, and therefore she just brings shtei chataot. Okay, he has a more simple answer. Here comes our all important line. We're finally there. Amar Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, this is in the Mishnah. Zehu shamru kishehu chai kolo achad. Ukishomet kolo sheva. Okay, this is a line about an animal. Right, he's talking about what type of animal is he talking about? An ayil, a ram. That when he's alive, he makes one sound, but when he dies, you can break apart the parts of his body. He has two kranot that makes sound. He has the what are all the parts? He has
The horns are made into
here.
Shefer,
right, can we talk about one second?
The thighs are made into flutes. The skin is made into a drum, and the stomachs. Made into a lyre, and the guts are made into the strings of harps.
Yafeh. Okay, so I'll read it in the Mishnah. Shtei kranav, shtei chatzotzrot, shtei shokav, shnei chalilim, oro letof, me'av lenevalim, b'nei me'av lekinorot. B'yesh omrim, some people say, av tzamro letchelet. You can even take a tzemer, make tchelet out of it. In other words, here you have so many uses. From this one thing comes seven. So here he says, it's sort of a joke, right? But he's saying, you could have this situation where a woman brings these two kinim and it turns into seven, right? He's not referring to Ben Azai. Obviously, he's referring to the case just before, where you have to bring seven birds. It's kind of like what you said, Judy. Can't you just bring two new ones? And here we're basically saying you've created this whole new animal. So now what do you see? Remember, again, it was hard to remember, but Rabbi Yoshua appears in this Mishnah explaining these shitot, which means that, now these Mishnayot didn't have to do with him, but the earlier Mishnayot, when we said if you do the Ola Lamata, we could count as a chatat, and we saw it didn't count. She's not Yotzei Tidei Chova. She has to replace it. So... there you see that it's Rabbi Yoshua, and yet he doesn't say that. So how do they answer this? This is, I kind of said this before, but Imer de'amar Rabbi Yoshua, la'fuke mide me'ila, le'mesak le'lechova mi'amar. He just said that there's no din of me'ila. It has a status of chatat in terms of me'ila, that if you use it, you know, eat it, do something with it, you're not allowed to, but still you're not going to have a chiyuv of me'ila. Okay, we've seen this before, where there's certain things that maybe Mizurabana, they're problematic, and therefore they don't have Mi'ila, or for various reasons, they might not have Mi'ila. But, Limesak Lechova Mi'amar, but he didn't say you're going to be, if you happen to be Chayav HaChatat, like in these cases, where she's Chayav HaChatat also, you can't say, oh, well, it'll be Yotze, your Chatat. The Ola that you did Lamata counts as your Chatat. No, of course he didn't say that. Okay, and therefore, we reject Rav Barava's interpretation that you can actually turn it into a chatat. No, you can't turn it into a chatat. It's just you don't have a din of me'ila. But it doesn't become, it doesn't transform like we thought maybe it did. Okay, at least the Gemara concludes, right? Rav Barava did seem to think that. But the Gemara concludes that it can't be that Rabbi Yoshua actually said that. And therefore, he just meant there's no din of me'ila. It has a certain element that's like a chatat, that it doesn't have me'ila anymore. But it doesn't mean that you're allowed to be Yotze Yedei Chova by this Ola. And then that resolves all our questions, which is, this doesn't seem to fit into everything we learned about Korbanot. It has to have intent. It has to be for what you're doing. In order, even then, you did it Shelo Lishma. It's not disqualified in certain cases, but it doesn't count L'Shem Chova. So Ma Pidom here, we'd say, oh yeah, it counts as your Chatat. Okay? There has to be intentionality in the, is that a word? intentionality in the mikdash. No, but I mean intentionality. In other words, you have to have the thought about having the right intent.
And
when you're doing
there,
it, and therefore this wouldn't work, let's say Yedei
Chovan. Why has there been no discussion of Pigul?
There was a discussion. It came from the Mishnah previously.
It got mentioned, but they didn't go through any configurations of how Pigul could occur.
Well, they did in the other Mishnah about the Pigul. They gave all sorts of cases of Pigul a few Pim ago. Im Machshevet Hazman, Kadman Machshevet Hamakom, Pigul. They did all that. But Pigul wouldn't turn. Here we're talking about something different, which is a Machshava of Shelo Lishma and the Maasim of some other thing. Could that turn it into something else? That's Pigul will only mess things up. It won't be able to transform it into something better or different, or and it wouldn't work. Okay, new Mishnah. The beginning of this Mishnah is in parentheses. Some people think it's at the beginning of the Mishnah. Some people have it at the end of the Mishnah. In any case, it's definitely in the Mishnah, so I'll just read it. Kol psulim shemalko, melikatam psula. Okay, anything that was in it, we'll have to see what this means, kol psulim. But in any case where the melika was psul, if they did the melika in a way that was not the right way, then melikatan is psula. The melika doesn't count. But eino matamei bebeit avliya. We saw this before. It's not considered an avela. Okay, if the malika was done not kil chata, but it was done, right? Generally, remember, let's review. Shchita, take something out of being an avela. If you're talking about chulin, if you take chulin that are not in the Beit HaMikdash and you do malika to them, it's an avela. You're not allowed to do malika instead of shchita outside the mikdash. But if you do malika on Kodshim in the Beit HaMikdash, that's the proper way to shech them. Malika in the Beit HaMikdash on Kodshim is equivalent to Shechita. And therefore, it's no longer Nevela, and it won't be Mitame Bebeit HaBliya, like a Nevelat of Tahor, which remember means, while it's in your mouth, you become an Avatuma. So your clothes become Tame, people you come in contact with become Tame. Anything, any Kli you touch, okay, unless it's Kli Cheres, but okay. Anyway, if you do this, malikatam psula, but eino matameh bebeit habliya. So if you do the malika in the wrong way in the mikdash, okay, you do, let's say, an olat ha'of, you do it lamata, for example, okay, or maybe it's actually other things they're really talking about. Anyway, it's not going to be matameh bebeit habliya. It's not called a nevela of tahor. Malak bismol o balayla. Let's say you did it with your left hand, which is not allowed, because remember, all cases where it says the kohen's supposed to do something, you have to do it with your right hand. Except for a few unique exceptions, right? What's one of the unique exceptions where he does something with his left?
And you need to use the other hand to carry something?
Right, it's in the Ketoret, on Yom Kippurim. He carries the Ketoret. I think it's the carrying of the Ketoret he does with his left hand because he's got something else in his right. He's got the blood in his right hand maybe in the Ketoret. I forget exactly what he's holding at the same time, but he has to do it. He has no choice. O balayla, you're not, right? We learned already. All the avodot have to be done during the day. Shachat chulim bifnim. If you took chulin and you did shchita of the chulin inside the mikdash, okay, now shchita generally you don't do in the mikdash, and chulin you don't generally do inside, but if you took shchita, you actually, issue is here, in both these cases, you did a proper shchita. So since you did a proper shchita, it's not a nevela. You might have done it improperly because you're not supposed to be shechting chulin inside the Beit HaMikdash. Or you took kodshim, bachutz, which you're not allowed to be bachutz, but you did shchita on them. So again, since it's a kosher shchita, so emetamim bebeit habliya. Okay, all these cases are not called nevela. But malak besakin, if you did malika with a knife, which you're not allowed to do, malak, it's not malika anymore. That's not called malika if you do it with a knife. Malak chulin bifnim, you did malika on chulin inside the mikdash, which you're not allowed to do. Kodshim, and not only you're not allowed to do it, but you didn't do shchita. In other words, chulin are only mutar, right? They're not called nevela if you did shchita on them. Here you did malika. The kodshim bachutz, okay? You took kodshim and you did malika on them, which is what you're supposed to do on kodshim, but you're supposed to do the malika inside the mikdash and you did it outside the mikdash. Or torin shelohi gezmanan, or you took a bird that wasn't yet the age that you're allowed to bring a korban. Or b'nei yonah she'avar zmanan, or a ben yonah that already passed its time, right? These all have certain age range that you're allowed to bring them. Or she'yavsha gapa, or it's, what are the gapa? The,
what's the word?
Wings. Wings. It's wings dried.
Atrophied.
Or she'nismet einar, or it was blinded. Or she'nikta'a ragla, its leg was cut off. These are all. Now, what's the difference with all these things? So the second section of these things are, they were never always a korban in the first place. Okay? So all these things are mitame bebeit habliya. Okay? All those things. Now, the real issue here, I'll read zeh haklal. What's the klal here? Kol shepsulo bakodesh eino mitame bebeit habliya. If the psul came once it was kodesh already, it was kodesh, and then it became pasul. Generally, what do we say? We saw this before. You see this in a later Mishnah, but we quoted it earlier. There's a whole bunch of category of things that once, if you put them on the mizbeach, even though they're pasul, they can stay. Lo yered. You remember that we saw? What?
You can keep burning them.
Right. Lo yered. You don't have to take them off, which means they're all ra'oy lahakravah. So the first category of things were all ra'oy lahakravah, meaning you're not that you're allowed to, but if you did, you don't have to take them off. Then second batch of things, lo hayap sulo bakodesh, in other words, it wasn't even ra'oy for kodesh, they didn't get to the right age, or you shechted it, you did a shechita, right? Well, oh no, you did a malika on the kodshim outside, right, which then, of course, you can't bring that into the mikdash. If you brought that into the mikdash, it's not ra'oy lahakravah, if you shechted it outside, right? I'm sorry, if you did malika outside, you can't take kodshim that you did outside and bring them inside. They're not kodesh at all. So since they're psula v'kodesh, there ain't no mitameh b'beit habliya, but loya psula v'kodesh, like those things, mitameh b'beit habliya. Those are called nevela.
And since only the kohanim can eat the meat of the birds, we're only talking about a tumah that affects kohanim.
Let's say anybody.
I thought only the.
Even if you're not allowed to, what if you did?
I suppose once you're doing things
right.
You're not allowed to do.
Exactly. It could be anyone who's eating this nevela of tahor. Look, the issue of nevela of tahor has to do with nothing to do with the mikdash. The nevela of tahor means you're on the street and a bird dies and you eat it, right? A kosher bird is dead on the street and you eat it. That's a nevela of tahor. Now we're just applying it to what is considered, what takes it out of nevela. A kosher shechita, even if it wasn't supposed to be shechted, like kodshim, right? Or, so then it's not a nevela anymore. That's a whole separate issue. Or, you did the things in the kodesh the way you were supposed to, but then you did something wrong along the way, right? In other words, it was ra'oy l'kodesh, and it was, but then you posseled it from being kodesh. Those are things that if you were, they were ra'oy l'hakravah, that if you put it on the mizbeach and started burning it, it would continue, you would be able to leave it there. So all those things are considered out of the category of nevela. Because what might you say? You might say, look, malika takes it out of nevela only if it was done exactly the way malika was supposed to be done. But since you messed up this korban, so maybe now you call this a nevela. And they're saying, no, that's not the case. It's only if it was never ra'oy, it was psulo, loya b'kodesh, meaning it wasn't even ra'oy l'kodesh, it wasn't the right age, it wasn't, you could never have even brought it in the mikdash. And certainly if you bring it now and you try to put on the mizbeach, we're going to make you take it off, then you can't say that malika took it out of being a nevela. No, that was an inappropriate malika, right? It wasn't a malika that would have worked. Okay. All these cases aren't exactly parallel. We have a few different categories here. Like we have a shechita that was done on kodshim or on chulin in the mikdash, you know, which you can't do, but since it was a shechita, so it's good. So there's a bunch of categories. Amar Rav. So Rav now says, small v'layla e'metamim b'beit habliya. If you did it with your left hand, or you did it at night, it's not metameh b'beit habliya. Okay, that we know already from the Mishnah. Zar v'sakin, but if it was a zar, or it was done with a knife, mitamim b'beit habliya. Okay, here, what does he add to our Mishnah, really? The zar. Okay, we didn't see a zar before. If a zar did it, did the malika, then it's metameh b'beit habliya. And we're going to see a machloket on this. Okay, zar doing malika is not, remember, only the kohen does malika. So if a zar does it, it's a nevela. Maishna smol di ile hechshera b'yomai. Okay, so now they're going to say, why is smol going to be a good, you know, malika, and zar is not? So now they're going to say, why do we have a question about this? Maishna smol di ile hechshera b'yomai kippurim. Because there is a case of small, like we said, in Yom Kippurim, where you could actually do it. Here, the Rashi says it. Natalat ha-machta b'yemino v'atakaf b'smolo. That's what it is. He's got to carry the spoon and the pan on which the, what do you call it? Like a machta is a, yeah, it's like a frying pan type thing or something where he puts the, right, I guess he's bringing the coals in for the ketoret. We saw this the other day, right, where he takes the coals. He has to take them from the place on the Mizbeach closest to the Ol Moed. Okay. So since Small has some sort of hechsher at some in some unique case on Yom Kippurim, and Lila eat lehechsherah be'evarim u'pdarim, right? Lila also has a hechsher because the evarim u'pdarim get burned all night. So it's true you don't do the main avodot, but there is a pseudo avodah that gets done. So you could say the same thing for a zar. What is a zar? What's the hechsher of a zar, right? The zar can't do malika, but what can he do? Shchita, which is parallel to malika. Zarnami eat lehechsherah be'shchita. So what do they answer? And then, you know, the question is, why does Rav distinguish? Shchita lav avodahi. But shchita is not an avoda. We've seen this before. So they say, velo. What do you mean shchita is not an avoda? We had this exact sugya previously. V'hamar b'zera shchitat para bizar psula. The para aduma, shchita of a para aduma is pasul bizar. And v'chave Rav ala el azar v'chuka. And Rav pointed out there, that's what v'chave means, he pointed out, that it says there, Elazar, and it says Chukah, and that's why we know that it's Pasul Bazar. Who is Elazar? Aharon's son, right? So it shows that you need Elazar, and it says Chukah, which means that it's Ma'akev. Remember we saw that? So here you see that Shchita isn't avoda. They say, oh no, you can't compare it to Parah Aduma, because Shchita of a Parah Aduma is, remember, Parah Aduma, you never sacrifice. Shane Parah de Kodshe Berakabayit hi. It's Kodshe Berakabayit. It's for the use of, it's to, how do you say it in this case? Right, it's just to be machshir other things, right? It's to be matami people, but it's not a korban, so you can't compare it. So then they said, what do you mean? All the more so, v'lo kol dekein hu. Kodshe berakabayit ba'u kahuna. Kodshe mizbeach mebayit. If for the shchita of a, we're going to consider the shchita of the para, pasul bazar, because it's like an avoda, and that's just kodshe berakabayit, it's not even a sacrifice. We're going to be able to say that Kodesh Mizbeach, you can have a czar do it. So Amar Rav Shisha, Bered Rav Idi, Midi Tehavei Amarot Negaim, Delav Avodahi. Now they say it's like Marot Negaim, where it's not Avoda, Ubaya Kuna. In other words, the Shchita of the Parah has nothing to do with Avoda. Okay? It's a whole separate thing, and it's just like you need a Kohen to show him your Nega. Only the Kohen can do that. And you need kuhuna, but of course nobody would say that the kohen checking your nega, your tzarat, see if you have tzarat or not, nobody thinks that that's an avoda of a sacrificial rite. Of course not. Okay, so then they say, okay, so there we see that shchita is not an avoda. So now they say, but wait, v'nelef mi bama. In the time of Heter Bamot, there's actually a machloket, are we talking about only before the Mishkan was ever created, where who did the avoda, do you remember? The Bechorim, right? Or the Bechorot, right? They were in charge of, the firstborns were doing the Avoda before the Mishkan was operational. They were the ones who you know, at Har Sinai, there was this thing, the Bechorim brought the sacrifices. Some people say even after Heter Bamot, even after the Mishkan, when there was no Mishkan, even then, so when they were allowed to do Bamot, anyone could do the avoda. It wasn't specifically Kohanim. There's a debate about this, whether it was only before the Mishkan was ever created and, you know, Shevet Levi was designated, or even after. But anyway, whether it's one or the other, still we could learn from there that other people could actually do the avoda, even if it's avoda. So now they say, mi bama lo yalef. We can't learn from bama. So they said, what do you mean? Philo, why not? V'hatanya, don't we say, minayin li yotze, she'ima la lo yered, sharei yotze kasher bebama. How do we know that if you took Kodshim and you left the Beit HaMikdash with it, which means it's disqualified, but then let's say you brought it back in and you put it on the Mizbeach, how do we know that you don't have to take it off, that it gets Ra'oi La'Krava? Because in the time of Bamot, right, you could be Yotzeh, right, there was no, you could, if something was left the area, you could bring it right back. So we do learn from Bamot. So what's going to be the answer? Again, we're trying to struggle with, how did Rav say Smol and Lila aren't Matami Beit HaPliya, but Zar and Sakin are? Tana azot torata olas samichle. He was somech on this pasuk zot torata ola. Zot torata ola. Ola comes to indicate a lot more things, but then zot comes to individualize, well, only this. So we have a riboy and then a mi'ut, basically. So we're going to say most of the things are included, but something has to be excluded, and therefore they take out the zar. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan, I'll just start with Rabbi Yochanan. Tomorrow we'll pick up from here. Amar zar ein mitamea beit habliya. He says only the knife and not a czar. He distinguishes, he doesn't agree with Rav about the czar. He thinks that if a czar does the malika, then it's not going to be Metamea Beit HaBliya. Okay? Tov. We'll start up tomorrow with the proofs for Rabbi Yochanan.